This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth, and happy Easter. We continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in this great season. We're in it's called the octave of Easter, these days that follow, where we dial into both the recounting of Jesus' resurrection, but also the gift of being able to, as a church, meditate on the proclamation of the gospel given to us in the Acts of the Apostles. We see the result of one of the outcomes of Jesus' rising from the dead and ascending to the right hand of the Father is the unfolding of the proclamation of the kingdom and the good news, as Jesus promised. He was going to send the apostles out in power to proclaim the gospel. So today I want to look at both the reading we were given yesterday, Wednesday, and then it's continued today from Acts chapter 3. It's a story of St. Peter healing the lame beggar at the gate beautiful at the temple. Chapter 3. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze to him with John and said this, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk.' And he took him by the hand and raised him up, and immediately his foot and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Those are the same adjectives that are used for those who used to hear Jesus preach and saw Jesus work signs and wonders. They were awestruck and they were filled with wonder and amazement. They'd never seen anything like it. Who is this man? Now the apostles are doing exactly what Jesus said they would do. He said, "Greater signs than these," that is the signs that Jesus performed, he said, "greater signs than these will accompany those who believe." Signs and wonders are meant to accompany the preaching of the gospel. Today, just as 2,000 years ago, the signs and wonders weren't just meant for the first, few decades of the church to kind of get it going, sort of prime the pump. No, the reason signs and wonders occur is because the Spirit of God is present. The Spirit that's given to the apostles, the Spirit that is the first agent of the church's mission, the source of the whole power, the whole reality of the church's life. The same Spirit that makes it possible for a priest to consecrate bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus, or for a priest to say in a confessional, "Your sins are forgiven," that extraordinary power, they're given by the power of the Holy Spirit at the command of Jesus. Every one of us have been given that Spirit in our baptism, in our confirmation, those who have been baptized into Christ. And the only way the gospel goes forward, the only way human hearts ever come to the conviction that this witness that the apostles are giving is a work of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can open the human heart. The Holy Spirit wants to confirm this word that the apostles proclaim. And so in Peter's case, this is what happened. Here's the crippled man that everyone knew, a beggar at the gate, beautiful. And Peter says, "Look at us." So the crippled man looks up at Peter and John. And it says he fixed his attention upon them. Why? Because he was expecting them to give him money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold. I don't have any money to give you. But what I do have, I give you." It was always one of the most moving lines for me. Because here's Peter, the one who denied Jesus, the fisherman, who on the night Jesus was betrayed, Peter ran and hid for his own safety. He was a weak man, in some ways, just like me, just like all of us. have within us, that fear of death, the fear of suffering, and all the rest. But here's that same man now, having received the promised Holy Spirit, he knows who he is. He knows exactly who he is and what he's received. I don't have any money, but I know what I do have. And what I have, I give you. What is that? Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit to confirm the truth about Jesus of Nazareth. So Peter says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. With the authority of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter literally commands him to rise. He's speaking now with the authority of the Lord. Jesus said when he commanded them to go forth, he gave them the great commission. All the power and authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always. So Peter knows who he is. He's an apostle. He's a sent one. He's a witness. He's a disciple. And he knows that Jesus has promised that he would be with him always. And it's from that confidence and that relationship and the knowledge that Jesus is indeed who he's proclaiming him to be. Peter proclaims it, and then he takes him by the right hand and raises him up, and immediately his feet and ankles are made strong. Signs and wonders are meant to accompany the preaching of the gospel. Do we believe that? Do we ever expect it? Do we ever pray with people? It's God who does the work. It's not the person who does the work. We're an instrument of God's grace. So people are captivated. They're captured by, they're captured and filled with wonder because of what they've seen. The reading goes on. Verse 11, just picked up today in the church's reading. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. They were astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? And why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" That's so important to see. Peter's like, why are you surprised? You think it's us? Are you amazed at us? This didn't happen by virtue of any power I possess on my own, or because I'm super holy, a particular kind of piety makes it possible for me to do this. He goes on, he said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him." So Peter is using this opportunity as the crowds are gathering and they're astounded, it's saying. They're filled with wonder and awe. I mean, maybe a little fear of God, you know, like, wow, what is this? Who are these guys? What's happening? Peter has their attention. And immediately he deflects the attention off himself and onto Christ. What's this all about? Why is this happening? Peter uses it as an opportunity to testify what God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's speaking to Jews now in the temple. So he's saying, it's your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He glorified your servant Jesus. He raised him from the dead. He said, you delivered him up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. He's going back to the day when Pilate had decided to release him, but the Jewish people who were part that day would not let him be released. They kept badgering Pilate. He said, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Now, would you think that's the best way to make friends and influence people? You finally have the attention of all these people in the temple, probably mostly men. They're listening to you. They're amazed at what happened. And you just recall to them the crucifixion of Jesus and how some of the Jewish people and leaders that were present that day would not accept Pilate's decision to release Jesus because Pilate couldn't find any wrong in him. And then Peter examines their heart and he says this, you denied the holy and righteous one. And you asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this, we are witnesses. This is the kerygma, friends. This is the core message of the gospel. He was killed God raised him, and we're witnesses. He died, he rose, he's alive. We saw him, we touched him. He said, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So there's a summary right there, a real nugget that's worth meditating on. If you had a chance to talk with Peter directly, if Peter showed up in your neighborhood and you had an opportunity to see him and speak with him, this is what he would want you to know. Jesus Christ has been raised. He's the author of life. And the sign and wonder that was performed, the healing, had nothing to do with Peter qua Peter, Peter on his own strength. It wasn't some kind of trick. It wasn't magic. It wasn't because he was so powerful and extraordinary in his own right. It's because Jesus Christ is risen. He's alive. And he's working through Peter and he's working through his church to bring about healing and salvation, to announce the year of favor, the great Jubilee. We're in this year of Jubilee, friends. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus to proclaim it, that anointed the apostles to proclaim this liberty, this freedom from sin and death and sickness, they went forward under the anointing of the Spirit. Pope Francis is saying, we have that same anointing by virtue of our baptism and being united to Christ. And we're commissioned personally by Jesus to go forward with this work of mercy, with the offer of healing and forgiveness and salvation. Verse 17, Peter goes on, and now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Remember when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They literally did act in ignorance, blinded by the power of sin and death. Without God's help, they couldn't have seen it. Verse 18, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. So he's interpreting for the Jewish people present there the prophetic word of the Torah in the Old Testament, anticipating the coming of the Messiah, the suffering servant, Psalms of Isaiah and others, saying God foretold that his Christ, his Messiah, should suffer, and it's now been fulfilled. Verse 19, repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven and earth must receive until the time of establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Here again is the essence. Peter proclaims the truth, and then he calls people to repentance. Turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The apostles are going forward with the fire of the Spirit in their heart to attack the sin problem and to call people from sin and death to forgiveness, mercy, and new life, that times of refreshing may come to all of us. Let's open our hearts to it, friends, and share it with others. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.